Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Hello, beautiful people. This is Bishop Randy Dean today with you with this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. No lesser value than love will be my target. I have no other desire, no other hope, no other dream but to live by love alone. Love alone is credible. Love alone is the highest value of all human existence. And if we don't live by love, we will end up living by BS. We will seek to manipulate or control or manage people in ways that are illicit to healthy living. We are alive to love. All lesser values devolve into BS because lesser values are weak. Lesser values don't do the heavy lifting that love will do. Love is my pilgrimage. Love is my path. Love is my reach. Love is that for which I hope and dream. I'm inviting you to join me in this pilgrimage. Come along with me. Don't pretend on any level, as I say here often, I don't pretend on any level to be an expert at love. Don't pretend that you know everything there is to know about love, because none of us do. But we are invited to climb the mountain, this Mount Everest of that is called Mount Love, to rise to new vistas, to climb to a rising joy of what this is all about. It's going to take your whole life. Every stage of life is going to be different. Every phase of your relationships will be different. And so your love will also be in need of evolving and changing and growing. So it's a pilgrimage. And you will make mistakes. Just go ahead and admit it right now. I will make mistakes. And people who expect me to be loving will accuse me of not being loving. That's part of the deal. I discovered that many, 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 many moons ago, that as soon as you announce that I'm going to be a lover, people will say, yeah, well, you made this mistake. You didn't love right that way. And all I can say is, you're right. I made a mistake. I didn't hit the target. I was reaching, but I fell short. But I will continue to learn. I will not stop. I will not cease. I will not relent until I have finished this path, which will take all of my living days. All of my living days to reach for the eight dimensions of love. That's today's subject. The wide dimensional view, vista, expanse of love. It's eight dimensional. It's not one dimensional. Love is never one dimensional, not even two or three dimensional. But I see it as a eight-dimensional exploration of what love can be, should be, and we're invited to discover what it is. So first of all, well, let me just give you the eight in a quick sweeping comment, and then I'll go back and walk through them very carefully. Love is given. Love is received. Love shapes us. Love is an art. Love is an experience. Love is a reach. Love is a risk. And love is a science. Those are the eight dimensions that I see that love is. Love is given. Love is received. Love shapes us. Love is an art. Love is an experience. Love is a reach. Love is a risk. Love is a science. Thomas Merton one time said, Thomas Merton is a Catholic theologian and just a deeply spiritual human being, said, all sin in the human condition is rooted in a failure to love. All sin is a withdrawal of love from God. In other words, we pull away in order to love something else other than God. All sin is rooted in a failure to love. All sin is a withdrawal of love from God in order to love something else. He's absolutely right. Love is at the taproot of human action and interaction, and as such, it becomes then the energy, the force, the dynamic of all responses and all actions of our human life. So that's why I say there's eight dimensions of it. So to pull away from any one of these dimensions is to pull away from the love of God, and then you'll find yourself in some form of sin. So first of all, love is given. The giving nature of love is kind of self-evident. I think we all know, for God so loved the world that he gave. That's a basic understanding. And yet, we, I think, are invited to discover and to walk through the giving nature of love as a, again, as a continuing discovery of how do I give. How do I give? I give in way the way I carry myself, my manners, my demeanor, my countenance, my face, my smile, my eyes. Love is given in so many ways that it requires us to have some sense of how did I give love today? How was my love being given? And in my giving of love, how could I have improved the giving nature of how I was involved with love? How can I reach for a better way to give, a better way to say that I love? So love is given. That's the first dimension of love. It's kind of self-evident, isn't it? You can't have love unless you're giving it. But then love is received. Now this is important as we, you know, as we talk about giving, I think we have to talk about receiving, because you can't give what you don't have. And in order to have it, you got to receive it. So recognizing how we've received love is recognizing then the reservoir out of which we then can give love. Love isn't something that just naturally bubbles up in us, all, you know, in terms of all the abundance that we need. But love is at a seedbed in our life waiting for some nurturing. And that nurturing comes from those who give. And then we have to learn to receive that. No, there's no such thing as love that hasn't been received on some level, because every child born had to receive a mama and daddy's love. Every child born had to receive some family's love. And out of that receiving end of love, then we learn how to then give love. So love is given, number one dimension, but love is received. Now, I'm convinced that, you know, I know in my own life, I haven't always been good at receiving love. You know, I kind of toe the dirt with my big toe and look down and say, oh, shucks, no, don't say that to me. No, I'm not that good. No, don't compliment me too much. And yet, I really have to learn, as we all do, I think, how to be a good receiver. Sure, you can be humble, and certainly you should recognize that, you know, that old aw shucks kind of humility, but don't let that get in the way of recognizing somebody is giving you something that's a treasure to receive. Somebody is saying something about your love that you should put in a careful place in your life so that it has a chance to really flower and grow. If you receive it, then receive it well so that it gets into you in a way that improves you. So if you're giving love, make sure you're receiving love, that you don't end up with a bank account of love that's running in the red. Keep that bank account running in the black, full and bountiful. Love is given. Love is received. Love shapes us. That's the third dimension of love. Love is shaping you. There's a shaping power of love because love does the heavy lifting. When love is around us, it's pressing certain points of our stress levels. It's causing us to stress what it is that has been stressed in us. Love shapes. You know, when we have been absented of love, when love has been a vacuum to us, you know, I'm convinced that we do know that we're running on low. And we need the shaping of some good love. You know, we need the shaping of what words that have come our way. Maybe a good way to do that is to return to some of the original moments of love that have come to you in your life, from parents, from family, from grandparents, from aunts and uncles and cousins and people that meant something to you, who shaped your early vistas of love. Because as we get older, love wants to continue to shape us, and if we don't allow love to shape us, then we'll just kind of rest on our laurels on yesterday's memories. Yesterday's memories should inspire us to today's moments of recollection and action. Recollection is invaluable, but reaction is even more invaluable. Taking from your recollection, how do I act now? Love seeks to shape us. So first of all, love is given. Secondly, love is received. Third, love shapes us. And fourth, love is an art. Boy, oh boy, don't we know this to be true? There's hardly any poem that's written in the human experience, but that love was somewhere in the middle of that poem. You know, I said love is received, but if love is received and then taken away, then we're talking about a broken heart. And that's how love gets to be part of the art. Now, while we know love is an art, whether it's in theater or in dance or in music or in poetry or prose, love is an art form for each of us to learn some way to express love, to do it with something more than just the average way that we've always done it. Find another way, find another manner, find another action, find another word. Search for better ways to get it across. Make sure that love is being treated as it is, an art form, a form of artistic expression. It's the form of our emotions. It's a form of how we think and how we sing and how we dance. So make it that kind of adventure. To make that I love you have a lilt to it that you didn't have yesterday. Love is given. Love is received. Love shapes us. Love is an art. Love is an experience. I like to just set on something like this because I'm an experiential kind of guy. I'm convinced, you know, see, I'm a theologian. You know, I'm not a master theologian by any stretch, but I do love the study of God. Theology is studying the ways and the means and the character of God. But I have come to believe that you can have all the theology in the world right and not have an experience and you don't know God. It's so true of love too. We need to experience love. The ongoing challenge of managing our life toward an experience in love is just that. It's an enormous challenge. I think sometimes we stop short. I really do. I think we give up on those moments like we used to have when we were in little grade school kids. When I was a grade school boy, I remember seeing some cute little girl across the classroom and hoping to goodness she would lay her eyes on me and say hi, or that she would just notice me maybe. I don't know if she'd even have to say hi, and my heart would jump up in my throat. That's the kind of experience that each of us need to be open to. And I mean just in the sense of seeing a sunrise and recognizing that sun came up just for me. Or seeing a sunset and looking at the grand beauties of the colors of the sky and recognizing, those colors were painted just for me. Or hearing a bird song, or seeing an eagle, or recognizing the crisp, beautiful air of the autumn that we're in right now here in Wisconsin. Love is an experience. Love is so many things as we're talking about today. It's given, it's received, it shapes us, it's an art form. But to know it as an experience is invaluable. There's no other way to really walk with love except to walk with it as an experience, to have the synapses of our brain firing with an experience of love is so valuable. It's so treasurable, to be treasured. You know, I was on a flight from Cleveland back to Minneapolis the other day, and the flight attendant was noticing that a mom in the back of the plane was having a challenge with her baby. And this beautiful, brilliant flight attendant offered to care for the baby and just walk the baby up and down the aisle of the plane during our flight. It was a smooth flight, so there was no danger in it, and Mom was tired, and Mom handed the baby off to the flight attendant. And this brilliant flight attendant just walked up and down the aisle and let all of us kind of goo and coo and smile and just look at this little baby's face. And this baby's face just looked back at us like, yeah, that's right, I'm here just for your entertainment. You may now thank me. It was beautiful. It was an experience, folks. That's what I'm talking about. You can either ignore the experience or you can plunge into it headlong. Go into the deep end of those kind of moments as an experience and just treasure it, recognizing you just had a moment. That was a great moment to experience love. So love is given. Love is received. Love shapes us. Love is an art. Love is an experience. And love is a reach. Love will continually demand of us the stretch. You know what it is to stretch, right? When you get up in the morning and you set up on the bed, and or you stand up on the edge of the floor at the edge of the bed, you stretch, don't you? You just give your body a moment to stretch. Years ago, I read something about how animals stretch naturally. It's an instinct in an animal. Don't go jumping up and running without stretching. If you've ever noticed a dog get up from a nap, what do they do first? Is they stretch that body out. I've seen videos of lions and tigers that, you know, they get up from a moment of a repose, and what do? They stretch those paws and those legs out. Stretching is important in order to have motion that is meaningful and non-harmful. Reaching for love. Love is always a reach. Love will never be something that you just, it just all of a sudden happens. Because if it all of a sudden happens, I don't think you're going to appreciate it. I think reaching for it, part of the beauty of love is reaching for it. Reaching for another connection in love. Reaching for another relationship in love. Reaching for another moment to have love be real. Love is given, love is received, love shapes us, love is an art, love is an experience, and love is a reach. And there are days, I know this to be a fact in my life, there are days when that reach is especially difficult. You need a little bit of physical therapy in your reach and in your stretch. You're going to need a little bit of patience as you reach, because maybe your love has caused a sprain in your psychological ligaments. Maybe there's been a strain in the muscle of love of your life, and now the reach is a little more painful. Maybe the reach is almost impossible at the at the first moment. But when we reach, we're reaching just a little more beyond what we've been reaching before, and we're finding ourselves having to discipline ourselves toward a better target in the reach. Knowing, you know, in physical therapy, when you have gone through any kind of physical therapy recognizes there's been an injury. And when we recognize there's been an injury, we reach with intentionality to replace what has been injured with something more strengthened. So love is a reach because we're strengthening what's been injured. Love is a reach, and love is always a risk. There is no such thing as love without risk. There is no such thing as love without a risk. If you love at all, you will surely be harmed. Let me say that again. Love is not a guarantee against injury. In fact, love guarantees there will be a risk taken and a risk received. To love at all is to experience the love of God. To love at all is to experience the love of God. And we all should recognize that the love of God, in terms of all the billions of human beings who have been on this planet, the billions of lives that have crossed, you know, in the past, in the present, and are to come, the billions and billions of humans who have been on this planet have not all accepted or received or appreciated or been grateful for the love of God. And yet, God continues the risk of his love. The risk of the love of God is the adventure to which we've been invited. And it is also the reason why our love can be faulty at any given moment or day or even season. It is faulty because in a risk taken and a risk and which causes harm back to us, we become reticent, reluctant, slow to reach again, slow to try again. Please understand, this is not abnormal. This is the normal human condition. And I want to urge you, in the risks you've taken, lean hard into the love of God. And know that no matter what risk has happened to you, you are not alone, and you are not singular in the risk or the failure of somebody else that was giving love to you. And in that moment, there is now a potential for a brand new exploration of receiving the love of God. Love is given, love is received. Love shapes us, love is an art. Love is an experience, love is a reach. Love is most certainly a risk. And last but not least, and this may sound a little less romantic, but trust me, there's something beautiful about this. Love is a science. Love requires thought. Love requires research. Love requires study. This is why I'm doing the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values are potentially manipulative and bait and switch attitudes. I am convinced that there's been a lot of talk about love, especially among the faith community, the religious community of America. I think we've all talked about love as if, yeah, we all know everything there is to know about love, and I am quite certain. In terms of our education of love, we are still in grade school. We're still in elementary school. We haven't graduated the sixth grade. We are not in middle school. We're certainly not in high school. And way beyond, or far away from, I should say, being in any kind of college or studies beyond that. We're still learning. I think most of us who brag about knowing the love of God, I think most of us have yet to fully explore and fully understand the love of God. That's why I'm doing this broadcast. That's why I write so much about what I do. This is why I'm in my 60s now, going into my 70s. I'm convinced that somebody needs to take the helm of this little boat called love and say, let's sail farther. Let's sail to the horizon. Let's not just stay on the safety of the shallows. Let's go on beyond the shallows. There was a song sung one time. We're beyond the shallows now. We need to go beyond the shallows. We're called beyond the shallows. The shallows, yeah, sure. You know, if the shallows are safe, but the shallows are empty. The shallows will remain empty as long as that's all we want to do. Okay, go back to the shallows if you need a little rest. But once you get rested, get back in the boat and sail for the deeps. Don't allow yourself, I'm not allowing myself, to be convinced that I've learned it all, that I know it all, that I've got love all wrapped up into a nice little tidy theological pattern and box, and then I can just stick this in my treasure chest and pull it out and tell people how to do it. That is not how I behave. I'm looking at love as this eternal adventure. Eternally, I will be in a place of exploration of love. I'm convinced that when I close my eyes in death, I will open them into the next life, into the next phase of life, and I will open my eyes and view into the eyes of the most glorious, magnificent love I've ever dreamed of or imagined. My eyes have not yet seen it all, but I want to tell you this. I am determined to see as much of it as is humanly possible in this life. You know, there's a Bible verse that says, eye has not seen nor ear have heard. But that isn't that particular verse isn't about withholding it for this life. That verse is saying, hey, come on, go for more. Go for as much as you know. Go for as much as as much as you need to know, I should say. Go for beyond the shallows and into the deeps. Go to those places that maybe nobody else has explored. Maybe nobody else has had this discussion. Maybe you're the first one to ask some questions about love that need to be asked. So I'm here to tell you that I say here every week, God is love and love is God. He who dwells in God dwells in love, and he who dwells in love dwells in God. We know this one thing about God. God is love. God is not a rock. God is not a tree. God is not a bird. God is not a mountain. God is not a star. God is not a planet. But God is love. And as such, he is vastly more expansive than a rock, a tree, a bird, a star, a planet, or a mountain. And as such, since God is love, we are invited to a vast exploration of the magnificent, the most beautiful, full dimension of the love of God. Eight dimensions. God is love is a love that is given. God is love is a love that's received. God is love is a love that shapes us. God's love is an art. God's love is an experience, a reach, a risk. And God's love is a science. It is to be explored. It is to be studied. It is to be pulled apart and put back together, to be researched. This is what I'm talking about as a science. And in these eight dimensions, we're invited to this pilgrimage that will never end. It will never end. However, I just want to say this again. I'm not so sure, but we've hardly begun. We're fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, maybe. Let's go on. Let's go on in our education and in our science exploration of the love of God. There's so much more to know, to embrace, and to be embraced by. Well, it's come to the point in this broadcast where I want to do with you what I do every time, and that is two exercises. And the first is to breathe well. Breathing. You say, well, I know how to breathe. Well, sure you do. But take it another level. Take it to a level where you're paying attention to the rhythms of your breath. You're paying attention to making sure you're breathing deeply, because as you breathe deep, you're going to lower your blood pressure. You're going to calm yourself. So breathe with me, would you? On the count of three, take a deep breath and hold it to the bottom of your lungs. One, two, three. Breathe in. And hold it deep. And exhale. That's just an example. Do that for 5 minutes in every day or longer. Get still. Plant your feet. Set up straight. And breathe deep. And the second exercise is one that applies so much to these eight dimensions, this discussion of the eight dimensions of love. And that is, look people in the eye, slow down your verbiage, and say, I love you. Now, I know it's awkward. I know it's weird. And yes, you should show some sensibility about to whom you speak these words to. But you know what? On the big scale, it's going to be a little awkward and weird anyway. So find somebody that needs these magical words. They just need to hear those three most charmed human expressions of words in the human experience, and that is, I love you. Eye contact. Slow it down. Make it part of your breath. I love you. I want you to hear me say it to you that are listening. I love you. The No BS Bishop loves you. I don't want to BS you. I don't want to bait and switch you. I don't want to manipulate you. I just want you to know somebody in this big planet is saying those words to you. I love you. Thanks for being here again today for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe it is the only credible value in the human experience, and I believe that all lesser values than love just devolve into some kind of shenanigans or ways to manipulate people to get them to do what we want. Nope, I won't live my life that way. I want to live my life for love alone. Thanks for being here. Now get up and do something beautiful, because, oh, baby, you know it, I know it, ugly has been done to death. God bless you. Happy trails.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.